It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Right now, we're talking about severe weather and how you and your family can stay safe when bad weather strikes. This week, we have seen a string of severe thunderstorms tear through the state. And when there are thunderstorms, we do have a chance for tornadoes. And there have been some confirmed cases this week about tornadoes touching down in the state. And we want to hear from you. Did your power go out during this week's storms or last week's? How long did it take for it to be restored? What part of the state do you live in? And how do you and your family handle safety around bad weather? Call in now, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Andrew Beckett is the lead public information officer of Wisconsin Emergency Management. He also runs the state's Ready Wisconsin campaign, which encourages being prepared for emergencies and disasters. Andrew, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me this morning.
So we have had some really nasty storms come through the state. Let's start with power outages. As of right now, how widespread are the power outages, and are they basically they're being repaired right now?
Well, the information we have regarding power outages focuses most of them in the southeastern Wisconsin area, that Waukesha, Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine area. And really, the utilities are working hard around the clock right now with linemen out, trying to get those connections repaired. I don't have an actual estimate on when they'll be up. That would be the utilities to provide that information. But, you know, they are working really around the clock to get that work done.
And what is the typical process for restoring power after one of these storms?
Really, the utilities get out there and they assess the problems with their infrastructure and they work to repair those connections in order to make service is restored. You know, infrastructure really can be just direct connections on the actual grid, but I'm sure that with the number of trees that were down in southeast Wisconsin, you probably had a lot of direct-to-home connections that were damaged as well.
Well, sticking with that, since we do want to talk about safety and all the facets of it, when power lines are down, physically down, what should people do to make sure that they stay safe?
Sure. So first off, when you encounter down lines, the number one thing to do is to stay away from them. You have no idea what kind of current might be going through those lines. You want to make sure you're reporting that to the local utility as quickly as possible so that they can get out there, make sure that the line is deactivated, and work to restore that connection. If you have lost power in your home, of course, you want to make sure that you're doing things like keeping your refrigerator and your freezer closed in order to preserve that temperature as much as possible because you don't know how long you may be without service. Really, if you've had more than 24 hours without power, you really want to be carefully assessing any food that may have been in there, especially things that are susceptible to spoiling. So, you know, really the real bit of advice there is when you're in doubt, throw it out because you have no idea of knowing whether or not something is safe to eat that may have been unrefrigerated for a long period of time. In addition, if you have a generator, you want to make sure that you are running that as it's intended to be run, not inside an enclosed space, not inside your home. Typically, generators need to be run outside in a well-ventilated area in order to reduce the risk of carbon monoxide exposure.
Now, sticking just with power outages, the state has seen some severe heat this week. How concerned are you with the power outages for heat-related illnesses?
We are always concerned when temperatures rise like this if there is power out. We want to make sure that people are taking every precaution they can to take care of themselves, as well as any elderly neighbors or individuals that may have special medical needs. Check in on those people. Make sure that they are staying cool. And if they are in trouble, make sure that they're getting to the assistance that can help them cool down, whether that's medical attention or if local areas have opened cooling centers in order to make sure that people have somewhere to stay safe, especially during the hot parts of the day.
We are discussing severe weather with Andrew Beckett. He is the lead public information officer of Wisconsin Emergency Management, and we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about severe thunderstorms or tornadoes? What questions do you have about staying safe during a power outage? Call 800-642-1234. Now, Andrew, we were talking about thunderstorms. And so let's stick with them right now before we move on to tornadoes. What kind of danger do thunderstorms bring outside of tornadoes, which we'll get to in a second?
Sure. Well, obviously, with thunderstorms, aside from tornadoes, you do have the possibility for very strong winds that can come through an area, as well as lightning dangers. And then, of course, heavy rains, which can lead to flash flooding, as well as long-term flooding if it's in a period of extreme heavy rain for over a long period of time.
Okay, now let's move to tornadoes, since those always grab headlines. We mentioned that there were definitely a few confirmed throughout the state yesterday. What sort of tornado damage have we seen so far this summer as a whole?
Well, really, we've obviously seen a very large tornado that touched down in the Bosque Belle area last week in western Wisconsin. That caused significant damage. It was one of the strongest that the state has seen in over a decade. Numerous homes destroyed and several others that had significant damage, as well as agricultural damage, tree damage, and a number of outbuildings on properties as well that saw significant damage. So, I mean, that's probably about the worst damage that we've seen from a single storm this summer. But, you know, there have been multiple tornadoes at this point. For a season that started as late as it did, we've had a very active July into August. And really, we've seen a number of areas where, thankfully, they've been weaker tornadoes, but they've damaged trees, they've damaged some buildings. So we are seeing typically what you would expect to see from a tornado. You're seeing trees and limbs downed, and you're seeing roof damage, walls sometimes taken off of homes from these powerful storms, which is why it is extremely important that when those warnings are issued for your area and you know that a tornado is possible nearby, to make sure that you are seeking shelter as quickly as possible in a safe location. That would either be the center part of your basement or in a ground floor interior room. Really, the goal is to put as much distance between you and the outside of your home as possible.
So with that, one thing I want to ask, just because people who may be on the outside don't pay too much attention to tornado warnings or to terminology, can you just explain when someone is looking at the tornado weather or news, some of the terms that they might be seeing that might, you know, get the National Weather Service to really warn people to go downstairs? Like, what is the National Weather Service, you know, putting into their calculation to issue these warnings?
Really, a lot of times with tornadoes, it is the warnings are based off of things like spotters, train spotters who are out in the fields making reports. Those can be volunteers, those could be law enforcement. You have radar indication on tornadoes. You know, there's a lot of things they look for, such as just the I'm not a radar expert, so I can't speak specifically what they may be looking for, but typically the things that I see pointed out would be things like possible rotation that shows up in the radar image, as well as signatures that may indicate there's debris in the air.
We are talking to Andrew Beckett right now. He is the lead public information officer with the Office of Wisconsin Emergency Management. He's also part of the Ready Wisconsin campaign. He runs that. And we want to hear from you. Call in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about staying safe during severe weather? You know, how do you and your family, what plans do you have put in place when severe weather is forecast? Call in now, 800-642-1234. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're talking about severe weather in Wisconsin and how you can stay safe. Our severe weather guide is Andrew Beckett. He's the lead public information officer with Wisconsin Emergency Management. And you can join the conversation now. Have you faced any storm damage this summer? What happened? How did you handle it? Did your home insurance cover it? And what kind of emergency preparedness plan do you have? Does your family have? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Now, I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Yeah, I just want to relates something to a previous occurrence in Puerto Rico. Hurricane went through. Some hand paper towels were thrown at the people, and that was it. But the rebuilding of the infrastructure in Puerto Rico, the IMF and the people that the World Trade Organization, whatever, they determine what's done with the money that they're going to borrow to Puerto Rico, and they determine that the rebuilding of the electrical infrastructure will be above ground, in spite of the fact that climate change is indicating that these storms will be more frequent and more destructive. And I'm wondering why we're not with infrastructure putting our power lines underground so that they're not so subjected to these increasing in both in frequency and intensity, that we're not preparing for those type of storms that we're going to have even here in Wisconsin.
Okay, thank you so much for that call, Mike. So that's an infrastructure question, and we talked a little bit about power lines being above ground and the danger there. Insofar as you know, are there any moves to be made to make our infrastructure just a little bit safer to maybe head off some of the severe weather we see and its aftermath?
That's not really an area where I have any expertise, so I can't really comment on that.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that. So let's go back to some of the storms that we've seen in Wisconsin this week. Last month, Concord residents, which is just west of Milwaukee, they saw a tornado touchdown. We heard about Boscobel. How widespread has the damage been so far this summer? And have we heard anything from Governor Evers about maybe declaring an emergency or anything like that?
In regards to how widespread, I mean, obviously we have seen damage touch down in areas across the state of Wisconsin this summer. We've had the western part of the state, especially southwest, has been fairly active. We've also seen in the north and in the north central part of the state several storms, several tornadoes that have touched down in that region. I don't have the official count right in front of me in terms of the number of tornadoes that the state has seen at this point this year. I do know that we were very close to being the latest start for the year, but since then it has obviously picked up quite a bit as we've gotten into July and into August. In terms of any declared state of emergencies, the storms that produced the tornado in Jefferson County last week, or the Boscobel area, I want to make sure I'm giving you the right information here. I do not recall if we had a declared state of emergency with those storms, but really I want to stress that a state of emergency is really just a tool that's used in order to help free up state resources to make them move faster. As it stands right now, Wisconsin Emergency Management, the agency that I represent, we have been in contact with our local partners, the county and tribal emergency managers who work with the municipalities within their state. And at this time, the state has had no requests for assistance associated with these storms. The counties and the tribes have been working diligently and using the resources that they have at their disposal in order to make sure that their response is as effective as possible. This is the way that the system is supposed to work. They have been doing a great job of getting out there, assessing damage, and providing assistance where they can.
I want to go back to our callers, Andrew. We have Jesse in Plymouth. Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
What question did you have, Jesse?
I was wondering, so if you live in a mobile home, where is the safest place to go? If you don't have a way to anywhere safe, is there a certain room?
Sure, I can address that. So really, trailers, vehicles, mobile homes, modular homes, they're not really designed to withstand the forces that a tornado produces, even if they've got like tie downs. So really, you don't want to be inside of those. You want to get to a nearby sturdy building if one is available. Some developments do have a designated tornado shelter that's present. If you're working in somewhere like a campground, you might want to look for something like a concrete-built bathhouse. If those are not available, obviously with a tornado, the biggest concern is flying debris. That's the issue. That is what ends up injuring people is debris from construction materials, from tree limbs coming down that causes injuries. So really you want to get into as low and flat a location as possible in order to protect yourself. Whether that's a ditch, some sort of embankment, you want to avoid something like if you're traveling on the interstate going up under an overpass because those can actually collect debris during a major wind event. Really, the goal is to get yourself as low and flat as possible in order to reduce the risk of flying debris hitting you. I will caution that outdoors, there's really no truly safe place to be. The goal is to minimize the risk to yourself as much as possible. But if you don't have, or if you live in something like a mobile home and you do not have access to a shelter, that's something to investigate and include in your plan and figure out how you can identify that safe location to get to when there's severe weather in the area.
We are talking to Andrew Beckett right now. He's the lead public information officer with Wisconsin Emergency Management. And Jesse, thank you so much for that call. We also got a call from a listener who couldn't stay on. Barb from East Troy wants to know if we're safe from lightning in our cars during a thunderstorm.
Typically speaking, vehicles should be a relatively safe place to seek shelter from lightning. You want to make sure that you're not touching metal surfaces while you're inside a vehicle, but it is a safer location than something like being under a park pavilion. Really, with lightning, the biggest danger is making sure you're in an enclosed space so that there's something between you and the outside. So something like a park pavilion, anything with open walls like a porch, is not a safe location to be during a lightning storm because lightning doesn't necessarily travel straight up and down from the sky. It can travel in a diagonal direction as well as branch out when it touches the ground. So really you want to be inside a structure that has enclosed walls.
So, Andrew, at the end of July, I want to move to warning systems really fast. At the end of July in Fond du Lac County, there was a tornado warning. It was issued in the region, but the sirens failed to go off. What should people do, in terms of being prepared, you know, if there's severe weather, but maybe there could be a glitch? How should people prepare for that?
Sure. So when it comes to alerting systems, we encourage people to have as many ways to receive information as possible. Outdoor warning sirens are operated at the local level in the state of Wisconsin, and those systems do face problems. They're tested regularly, but sometimes issues happen. And really the most important thing people need to remember is to make sure that they have other ways to receive alerts just in case they don't hear that siren, because they're really designed to be heard by people who are outdoors. That means having something like a NOAA weather radio in your home that's programmed to the local tower frequency, having wireless emergency alerts enabled on your mobile device. That is a setting that sometimes you have to turn on. In addition to that, you can download weather apps that can provide you alerts. And then there's always trusted local media, radio and TV, that will frequently break into coverage with alert warnings or go live to discuss the storm threat for the area. I mean, really, you want to have as many of those tools in place as possible when you're tracking a storm in your area to make sure that you are getting the most up-to-date information and alerts as possible.
It feels like common sense that people, who live in houses would know to go into a basement in the event of a tornado or really severe weather, you know, but sometimes in the moment you panic. How can people best prepare a plan for when severe weather happens before severe weather happens?
Absolutely. You want to make sure that you have that plan in place and you've discussed it with everyone in your family. You can find resources for doing that on our website, readywisconsin.wi.gov. There we have a number of different tips and fact sheets that can provide information on how to best create a plan that suits the needs of your family.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to turn quickly to another facet of severe weather, which is flooding. You encounter water on the streets if you're out and about. Sometimes basements get flooded. How can people stay safe in the event of flooding outside and sometimes flooding inside?
We'll talk about flooding outside first. Really, the most important piece of advice to remember there is to turn around, don't drown. If you encounter floodwaters on the roadways, do not venture into them, either on foot or in your vehicle. It really only takes a few inches of water to knock a person over if it's moving fast enough, and you never know what the surface beneath that what the ground is going to look like beneath the surface of that water. So if we've had a flash flood that's come through the area, it may have washed the road away. You may be driving your vehicle into a sinkhole and not even be aware of it because you think there's a road that was there yesterday still in place. So really, the safest thing to do is to stop. Don't enter the water. Find a different route, or at least wait until the floodwaters have receded so that you can safely pass and know what you're driving into. In your home, you want to make sure that you're getting to a safe elevation so that you're not directly in the water. You want to make sure that you are getting the water out as quickly and safely as it's possible to do so, and you're removing any construction material that may have been damaged, because mold growth, especially in something like a finished basement, can be a very real concern that can be a potential hazard to your health. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has a great deal of information for basically how to make sure that your living space is hygienic again after it's been damaged by floodwaters. I encourage people to look on the Department of Health Services website for toolkits they have available there with that information.
Now we are in the summer months. We will be heading into cooler months. What severe weather should people be aware of as we head into fall?
Well, obviously, tornadoes and thunderstorms can still pop up in the state well into the fall months. I mean, really, tornadoes are something that in Wisconsin could and have occurred almost year-round. I think the only state only month we don't have a recorded tornado in state history is February. So really, we can have a tornado pretty much at any time of the year. So it's important for people to keep those threats in mind. Obviously, as we get into the colder months, the concern drifts more towards snow, and ice that the state may experience there. And really, a lot of the preparation lessons still apply. Working on those plans with your family before you need them is key. Making sure that you're having those discussions so that when severe weather does happen, everyone already has that ground base of knowledge to help limit the chances that they're going to panic.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Andrew Beckett is the lead public information officer of Wisconsin Emergency Management. He joined us to talk about this week's severe weather and how you can be better prepared for dangerous storms. Just ahead, we explore the concept of never shopping again. Yep, you heard that right. Imagine a world where consumerism comes to a halt. We'll investigate that next. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.